20 Sekunden Werbung und dann geht's aber wirklich los. Willst du im Fitness- oder Gesundheitsbereich so richtig durchstarten? Dann informier dich jetzt über die Deutsche Hochschule für Prävention und Gesundheitsmanagement und die BSA-Akademie. Egal ob Studium oder Weiterbildung, hier findest du den Weg, der zu dir passt. Starte deine Zukunft jetzt. Danke für eure Geduld und jetzt viel Spaß beim Podcast.
Hello and a very warm welcome to our podcast Fitness Immore. This season is a really special season, so we apparently have it in English language, others than you're used to. And the reason why we have this is because my guests are Philipp Mills and Jens Schulze. Very warm welcome to you guys.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, very happy to have you guys here. And today our topic is about group fitness, as somebody as you might think. So Philipp, maybe you can give a brief introduction to our listeners. Most of them know the name Les Mills, but also I think it would be nice if they get to know you a little better.
Sure. Okay. So where the name Les Mills comes from is my father, whose name is Les Mills. And he was an Olympic athlete. He threw the shot and the discus in four Olympic Games. And later he was the New Zealand national track and field light athletic coach. Then in 1968, he started a gym for the public, with the idea of taking elite training principles to the masses. I started working in that club in after school in 1968, cleaning the locker rooms and doing simple things. It was not a very successful club because really elite training is very tough on people, and most people really found it too tough.
Was it because it didn't clean good enough, or what?
possibly. But we tried to make it fun, but it was pretty tough. And then I went to university. I did a track and field scholarship, a light athletic scholarship at UCLA in California, and I was a 400-meter hurdler, 400-meter hurdler, and 4 years, and from 1974 to 78. And that was the beginning of aerobics, really, in the U.S., was while I was there. So when I went home at the end of that to New Zealand, I started doing group fitness classes. And but we did group fitness with the things that we had always done as athletes. So with weight training, with circuit training and calisthenics, very athletic things. So a little bit different to what was going on with the rest of the world, with Jane Fonda and with dance type of aerobics classes and things. We had very athletic classes, but we were in a tiny part of the world, because in those days you didn't have the internet, and New Zealand almost didn't exist. If you asked Americans where New Zealand was, they'd say, oh, is that near Newfoundland or Nova Scotia in Canada?
Somewhere over there.
But we spread throughout Australia. We were in Australia by 1981, and so we licensed our classes, got very, very popular, and we had, a lot of sports people teaching the classes, but also people who were performing artists. It's a long story, but I spent 1 year of my life after university managing my brother-in-law's rock and roll band. So I was in the rock and roll business for a year, and I knew a lot of entertainers and actors and singers. And so when we started our first group fitness boutique, we had lines of people up the street for 50 meters to get in, and we would charge $3 a class and pay $1 per person to the instructors. So we had instructors who were earning $100, more than $100 a class, and you can imagine 1980, that was a lot of money.
Yeah, that was good.
So we spread really throughout New Zealand and Australia, and we had our own gym chain throughout New Zealand and Australia, but we also licensed our classes to hundreds and hundreds of clubs throughout those countries. And then finally, in 1990, 1996, we came to Europe, and 1997, we came to the US and spread really to the whole world at that stage. But until then, we were kind of unknown because Australia and New Zealand was, you know, a small part of the world and a small corner of the world. And then I think what you had was in the 1980s, you had, you know, a lot of those dance classes, dance aerobic classes with leotards and leg warmers. And by the end of the 80s, people were looking for more athletic things. And we had like spinning. Johnny G from South Africa brought spinning to the world. And we had a weight training class. And it took off, you know, it went crazy. And then also in the 90s, you had Taibo, which came from America. So there was a big market for more athletic group workouts, and Body Pump just took off internationally. It became really, you know, something that was known in every country.
Yeah. Well, that's a very interesting background story. Yeah. So happy to have you here. If you out there want to learn more about Philip Mills, we did several articles with fitness management, which are all linked in the show notes. But now let's continue to my second guest, Jens Schulze. It's like the head of Les Mills in Germany, which does a very successful job, as I can tell. Jens, would you just briefly introduce yourself?
Sure. I also start with Body Pump because that was the first class I took part in 2008 in Mallorca, Porto P, as a participant. And I was absolutely caught by the music and how the music and the energy with all the people united. And since then, I'm a big, big, big Les Mills fan. I worked for a customer for Les Mills several years. And then when Les Mills moved from near Cologne, between Cologne, Bonn to Hamburg, I joined Les Mills as a sales rep for Northern Germany in 2017. Yeah, and since 2 years, I'm heading up the German-speaking part of Les Mills, Germany, Austria, and now newly country, Slovenia.
Congratulations to that.
Thank you.
You're doing a wonderful job.
Oh, wow. Thanks.
Really. You're doing a wonderful job.
Excellent.
We can finish the podcast now.
Okay. Thank you for listening, if you like. I want to discuss with you a topic like the European Health and Fitness Market Report just recently released. And we learned that we have 75 million members all across Europe. And my question to you, Philip, would be, how do you perceive the fitness market, not only in Europe, but international wise? How is it developing?
I think it is a lot bigger than we think that it is. So the 75 million members, they are members of gyms. Okay. That doesn't include people who go and do a class at a boutique or at a leisure center. And the way that data is collected is different for many different countries. So when I talked to Herman Rutgers about it yesterday, he said, yes, we really need to get every country collecting data the same way. We've been taking a different approach with our own research because, you know, we do a lot of research at Les Mills. We have 38 journal published studies that have been done with different major universities around the world. And when we study fitness participation, we take a big sample of people, like 25,000 people. And instead of asking gyms, how many members do you have? We say to people, do you go to some kind of a gym at least once a month? And could be, you know, any kind of a gym. Could be a gym at school or at their office or a boutique where they're going just to do a yoga class or something. And our studies consistently show that we have about 30% of the adult population of the world, which is doing fitness. And with Gen Z, it's much bigger. There are some big studies that have been done, big university studies by people other than Les Mills in the US, which are saying that 45% of American Gen Zs are going to some kind of a gym. So, you know, it's really worth understanding that going to the gym is a massive social trend now, and it's getting bigger with every generation. It's the biggest sport in the world. If we regard it as a sport, there are now more adults going to gyms than playing all other sports combined. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. This is a massive part of modern culture, is going to the gym. So a second thing that's important to understand about it is that the club industry, we're half in the exercise business and we're half in the business of motivating people to do it, because people can exercise at home. They can exercise outdoors, running around the block or running around the park or something like that. But the majority of people don't tend to, because they're not motivated enough. You know, they're stuck to the couch. They're glued to the couch, and the couch is our
couch is everywhere.
it's our biggest competitor. And so we're half exercise, half motivation, half about getting them off the couch and to come and exercise. And gyms have all sorts of ways of motivating people. Some of the ways that they motivate people are by teaching them how to exercise properly and helping them to set goals and objectives and measuring their progress and all of those quite scientific educational things. But motivation is many things. Community is a big form of motivation. So social interaction. People join gyms because they want to lose some weight, or they want to be healthier, or they want to improve their mental health, their well-being. They want to feel better. But they stay for different reasons. They stay. If a person comes to a gym and they're given a workout program that they don't like, they're not going to stay for very long. So you have to find ways of making coming to the gym enjoyable, and community, things that pull people together, like group fitness is a big source of motivation, because you have the social energy of the class, you have music, you have a teacher motivating you, you have some interesting, exciting choreography maybe. You have all of those things. Other things that motivate people are things like sports. So things like what we're seeing with HYROX now. And my company has always been involved with sports. So when we started our first gym in 1968, that was the jogging boom. And so we had running clubs, and we encouraged people to enter in 10-kilometer, 5-kilometer runs. Later on, we brought the sport of triathlon to New Zealand, and we ran the National Triathlon Championships from 1979 to 1985. We had Olympic medalists, we had Hawaiian Ironman winners and people, but thousands of people joined our clubs, and thousands of those people are still members today. We ran the National CrossFit Championships for a number of years, and now I personally think that HYROX is going to be the biggest of all of those public participation, mass participation sports. And it's something that is always going to need gyms, because to train for HYROX, you train in a gym. And so these are different forms, ways of motivating people. You get them involved with a sport. You know what it's like. You run your first 10-kilometer race. You want to do it again, better next time. And you work out with a squad of people, and you become very bonded with those people, very friendly, and those people stay forever. So group fitness, sports, groups, things like that are examples of ways that we can really motivate people and keep them coming back to the gym.
Okay, thank you so much. Let's talk about HYROX later on, because that's a very interesting topic. Something you said about Gen Z, that's also what we have in the German market report. Like it's not 30% in Germany, but it's also like 27% in Germany, actually. Gen Z that is going to the gym. And actually this generation is also the major growth part of the where we get our members from. So Jens, coming to Germany, how do you perceive the fitness market, especially in Germany, or maybe also Austria, and what trends and developments do you perceive in this certain area?
Yeah, I can just underline what Philip has said, and I think Looking back, you've presented several weeks ago the industry report for Germany. Fitness has never been bigger globally, and that's also true for Germany. So right now, first time, we marked a 15% penetration rate, and we have more than 12 million members. So, and this, I believe that's just the beginning. So I believe there's a lot of room for improvement, growing to 20-30%, like in the Nordic countries or in the US. I do believe, and by interpretation of those numbers, that fitness is nothing like an add-on or which is just a side thing. It has become true mainstream, especially through Gen Z and much more. So, and that's a fundamental part. A healthy living, a healthy lifestyle, and a gym membership is a fundamental part of the life of many, many people. And that's what we are seeing. And then when we talk about programming strength, I wouldn't label strength as a trend because it's very sustainable since years. And then, of course, fitness, racing, high walks is the biggest. And we are both true believers that this will become an Olympic sport, definitely. And what we are also seeing is a huge, huge demand for yoga and Pilates. And in the past, yoga and Pilates were thrown into a mix and was seen like, perceived like, wow, that's the body and mind category. But those programs are so strong, they have kind of outgrown this category. They're grown in their own category. So we have recently launched Les Mills Yoga in four different formats, and one is breathwork. And I do believe that workout training, joining a gym to reduce the stress levels and mental health is also a big part. We've found out in the Global Fitness Report that about 30% of the people who visit a gym or go to a gym, their objective is to reduce stress levels. They are really interested in body and mind and wellness, health, mental health, and this skyrockets since COVID.
Yeah. And also, you just said something really interesting, the breath training, because I think breath is one of the most underestimated things because we do it automatically. But if you do it like with your conscience, like for example, when we were in Munich at your event, we had the breath workout at dinner. So I forgot the name of the guy, but he did
Fraser,
he did a really good job. And all the people that were there for dinner did a breath workout. That was amazing for me because like it's
100%. And I first met Fraser in February last year in New Zealand, and we took part in a sneak preview of Les Mills Yoga Breath, and it was just amazing. It was mind blowing. After a 26-hour flight to New Zealand, that was the first workout we've done, and that was just amazing. And we were a group of people, 30 people all around the globe have joined that class, and everyone left was just mind blown and said, wow, that's truly something we will integrate in our training routine in some form. And since then, I think 100% have adapted to that.
All right. Excellent. What we have in Germany also, like we have these gyms which don't have a lot of staff or even staffless gyms. Also, there is a growth there in the overall market. How do you look at that, Jens?
Well, I think, like I just said, we are just at the beginning. 15% penetration rate, and we welcome everything what brings new members into the industry, new members into the gyms. And we know that what you offer as a gym is very important, but also location. And those staff-free gyms are very often located in small neighborhoods where no gym was before. And staff-free or with lower staff, those gyms, they lower the barrier of entry of becoming a member. So they bring hundreds and hundreds of new members into the industry. So that's a wonderful way how we grow the industry. And I also think this is the entry, and some people do even have two memberships or work with an aggregator or something. But if it lowers the barrier for an entry and it makes easier to become a member, wow, wonderful. That's something. The tide helps everything, everybody.
Yeah. Thank you. That's also a good overline to my next topic. And this is what Philip, you already said it, like group fitness is booming and you're doing a lot of studies to it. Also in your Les Mills Global Report. What if you had to name concrete reasons why is that? Is it because the environment changed or the behavior of the people changed? But what would you say is the main factor for the boom of group fitness currently?
I think it's, again, it's always going to be about motivation, and new modalities are coming in all the time, and a new generation of people who want to do something different to what their parents did. So lots of new classes. Some of the classes are quite similar to what's happened in the past, and they've repeated in different ways throughout the generations. But it's this is the biggest fitness generation of all time, Gen Z and the young millennials, and they're looking for something new.
Okay. And also, what was, Jens, what do you think about it? Like, what is the reason for fitness, for the group fitness boom, and out of your perspective?
I do think community is the biggest one. People are truly looking for human connection. In the Global Fitness Report, we found out that although it's a topic everywhere, artificial intelligence, 90%, especially in Gen Z, prefer human connect and human coaching. Yes. So, and I do think the human relations, and I think retention begins with relationship, making things accessible for everyone. So I would say community is a really big factor. And then 100% the instructor. One single instructor can bring you hundreds and thousands of people. So that's a true connection that happens between the members, and also between members and instructors, and then to the club.
Yeah. And actually, there's like two questions I would have about that. But let's stick with the retention. Like, also, according to the report, group fitness can be increases retention. So it helps you to build communities, to have them stay longer. But how would you recommend the operators to implement group fitness in order to optimize this retention rate?
I think the first thing, yeah, there's plenty of research that says that people who come to good quality gym group fitness classes will come more often, and therefore they will stay longer, they will bring more friends, they're prepared to pay more money. You can see they will pay sometimes 30, 35 euros to go to a class at a boutique. So they value it, they value the experience, they get great results from it. And I think the things that clubs have to think about, the first one is great instructors. We know that a single great instructor will bring hundreds of members to a club and retain them. Yeah, and those members, again, will be members who will come more often, stay longer, bring more friends, etc. If you can build a team of them, it's going to bring thousands of members to your club, and it's going to completely transform your business. And we don't take enough time in the industry to get out and recruit people who are going to be real rock star teachers. People say, oh, it's too hard to do, but it's not. It's really not hard. There are plenty of them out there. There are so many young kids who have experience in performing arts or who are fanatical sports people who would love to be up on the stage and doing this. But we don't take the time to get out and find them and recruit them and talk to the physical education schools, talk to the acting schools, performing arts schools. There are so many kids out there who have been doing dance, singing and dancing production since they were 4 years old. You know, by the time they're 15, 16, 18 years old, they're rock stars. So that's one thing that we, as an industry, we must do. We must take the time to find those new rock stars. If you want to get Gen Z and Gen A in, you've got to have people of their age who they can relate to. It's like the music business. Mm-hmm. There are people of my generation who are still great, like Bruce Springsteen and Mick Jagger, but not many of them. Mostly it's people who I've never heard of, who the young kids like. So you got to do that. The other thing to understand is that there are 8 major categories of group fitness. So there's strength, the strength classes. There are the circuit classes, the HYROX type of classes. There is yoga. There is and all the variations of yoga, of vinyasa and yin and hatha and body balance. Our body balance class is the biggest yoga class in the world now. It's a yoga fusion class, which we started. We started doing yoga with music and mixing it with other modalities in the 80s. And yoga teachers said, you can't do that. You can't put yoga with music. It's wrong. You can't mix it with Pilates. Now they all do it. Now, all of the great yoga teachers mix with some Pilates, mix with music. But in the process, body balance has become not just the biggest yoga fusion class in the world, but the biggest branded yoga class. We're in 15,000 clubs around the world with 30,000 plus teachers. So the whole yoga movement, it's a world in itself. You know, yoga, different types of yoga have different results and different state changes for people. Vinyasa yoga is incredible for functional strength. It's a great functional strength we got. Then we have Pilates, you know, which is the single most searched fitness term on the internet last year. And Pilates is different to yoga. You know, people say it's mind-body, but Pilates has a different set of customer needs. You know, it started with 100 years ago with what Joseph Pilates called contrology, about control. And it's a lot about sculpting. Sculpting is one of the fastest growing categories with Gen Z, with the booty bands and all of that. So that's kind of the category that Pilates is in. And reformer, as we know, is one of the big things that's happening in the world. So that's for the bike category is still a huge category. And a lot of people are saying, my cycle classes have died since the pandemic. Mm. You know, I'm going to replace them.
Everything went to Peloton.
I'm going to put reformers into my bike studio. But that's a mistake. I think there's 2 things that happened. Yes, a lot of the old members who had been doing spinning for decades, when the gyms closed down during the pandemic, they started riding their bikes on the road or hiking or doing something else. So they lost the habit. They lost the addiction. But a big part of – and so we're starting again with Gen Z and young millennials. But a big part of what happened was we simply never innovated with the bike classes. Nobody did anything really new since Johnny G, since spinning. And when we introduced the trip – to the world, it was the world's most cutting edge fitness experience. You know, you're riding your bike, huge screen with CGX, riding through a city on another planet, or a city in the future, or underwater, or something like that. And it went crazy, but it was so expensive to install in gyms. Prior to the pandemic, we only had about 130 clubs around the world who could afford to put it in. Since the pandemic, technology's improved, became much, much cheaper to put it in and much cheaper for us to make. And now, since the pandemic, it's in 4,000 gyms around the world. It's one of our fastest selling programs. And the clubs which have the trip, bike is one of their biggest categories. So don't lose bike, because it's cycling, it's the most profitable area in your club. There's no area that you can fit so many people into such a small room. Just you have to innovate. What else you've got? You've got dance, you've got cardio, and you've got martial arts-based kickboxing, boxing classes. Mm. A lot of people, especially women, love to punch and kick, and it makes them feel empowered, and it gets rid of their stress, and they probably imagine that they're punching us guys or their bosses
just
or something like that.
Guy and
but it's another huge category. So there are 8 categories, and every one of those categories has a massive market. Mm-hmm. So you have to have great instructors who will bring hundreds of people, and you have to have best in category classes for as many of those categories as possible, because again, each one of those categories will bring hundreds of members to your club if you do it well and retain them. It's again, you, when people join, you have to give them something that they like. If you give them an exercise program that they don't like, then they're not going to keep coming back for very long. And some people might like strength training and weight training. Some people might like to kickbox or to dance or something. You've got to find the right activities. You've got to say to them, yeah, you know, what do you like? And when you do those things, it can completely transform the business of a club.
Okay. Thank you so much. I like the idea that group fitness is not like group fitness is group fitness, but there's like different aspects to it. So that's really interesting. Also, you basically answered part of my question, what was my second question to Jens, because the fitness industry is a people business. And my question was, how do you find people? Like you say, look for actors, something like that. But Jens,
and fitness fanatics.
And fitness
people
fanatics.
People who love fitness and natural coaches, people who like to coach fitness and who like to help other people. Because the number one reason, when we survey group fitness instructors, the number one reason that they do it is to help other people, to help improve other people's lives. The number two reason is because they like standing on the stage.
That's very good. So, if we want to find it, like, let's have this situation, maybe in a German mindset, because like our listeners are mainly German operators or Austrian. What kind of questions would you take in an assessment center to detect if there's somebody that is like a rock star or has the potential for a rock star? Jens, how would you approach this? Or?
So I think you can spot the people without questions. Because that's the one who truly create a positive atmosphere, who are there to welcome people. When I, funny story, I've once joined a gym when I was a sales rep in Northern, a customer experience manager in Northern Germany for Les Mills. It was on the East Coast. And they wanted to start with Les Mills and had no instructor. And then I went into the gym, receptionist, and she was so friendly greeting me, and she was so, so caring, and she did a lot of sports. So I sat down with the owner and he said, yeah, I would like to start, but I don't have the right people that we can send to instructor training. And I said, hey, have you thought about her? Huh? No, she's working at the reception. She's a receptionist. And I said, well, can I talk to her? And not even 30 seconds. And we found the right program. We signed her up for initial training, and she's still active as an instructor for Les Mills and brought this club more than, countless members. That's how they appear, those people.
Very nice. And you have to understand also there are really five different types of instructors, different major strengths that people can have, which can enable them to fill a room. One of them is if they move beautifully, if they move inspirationally. So you have a lot of dancers or gymnasts or martial artists, and they're just so inspiring to watch that people will come, and very clear and easy to follow. Another one is the great coaches, the people who are really good at, who want to coach people, who are really good at explaining exercises and explaining the correct technique. Another one is the performing artists, the people who have had a lifetime of being on the stage and creating a feeling and experience, and we call it X Factor. There is another group which sometimes you look at them and you think they don't move inspiringly. They're not really particularly good coaches. They don't have a big X Factor personality, but the class is full. What is it? And often those people they're just the great communicators. They're people who really care about the people in their class, who take the time after class to talk to people and to learn their names and to. And then the fifth one is choreography. And that's a more difficult one to find, people who are really great at putting together music and different types of exercise. That's an unusual skill, and that's the one that we standardize. We couldn't hire enough people that were good at that when we started, and so we said, okay, our best choreographers are going to create the choreography for all of the other ones, and then you know that it's a minimum standard that always the member is going to have a base level minimum standard of exercise effectiveness and safety and magic and all of those things. And now it takes us 3 months to make a single class. So we have 30 programs, but every one we take 3 months to iterate and reiterate and reiterate the class 40 or 50 times with a team of choreographers until we think it's perfect before we release it to the instructors. So, yeah, that's a long answer to your question. I'm sorry, all of my answers are pretty long today. I'm a little bit wordy.
No, but that's excellent, because I think, like, in Germany, like during the COVID years, we lost a lot of staff, also like trainers. And still, we are trying to get more trainers in the clubs, more rock stars.
A lot of them are in the club already.
They are already there.
Like Jens says, a lot of them would be on the reception, or they might be a personal trainer, or. Yeah. They might be a membership salesperson, or just working out on the gym floor. You can walk around and you can look and you can say, wow, that person really has great technique, talk to the ones that have personality you'll often find that they're doing something, some kind of a performing art. Singers are wonderful.
Yeah.
And a lot of the churches now, the church groups have performing arts groups, and we're getting a lot of our great young instructors in certain countries from the church performing arts groups.
Well, that's very interesting. But also it's a very good advice for the German operators. Just look what is already there and see where you find the potential. Yeah, just open the eyes.
And look, talk to the performing arts schools, because you know what percentage of professional actors are working full time? Do you want to have a guess?
50?
1%.
One. Okay.
1%.
Okay. I'm like 49%.
Professional actors are in full-time employment.
Okay.
So many talented people who would love to stand up on the stage and get paid some money to do it. It's what they love doing. And you got to find them.
That's very good.
Talk to the repertory theater groups, the universities with performing arts groups. Yeah.
And specifically for Germany, we have a big advantage with the dual students.
Yeah.
So that's that source were one of the largest we put through initial training in the last year, and we get a lot of signups from those.
That's people. Excellent.
Young, hungry people that wanna grow, wanna get certification, wanna get educated in group training, and then they are ready for the fitness market and make a living out of it.
Excellent. And I don't know if this is legal in Germany, but some of the best instructors,
disclaimer now,
some of the rock stars that we've had have started at 15 years old. You know, like I say, they've been doing song and dance training with their local dance school since they were 4 years old. Gandalf Archer, who is one of our rock stars and is my son-in-law, married to my daughter. He started when he was 14 years old, and he's one of the great dance fitness teachers in the world. Started when he was 14 years old, and he was already a rock star when he started.
That's very good. I know it's most people that do apprenticeship, also like a dual study, they start also below their full age, like below 18 years, and they need the permission of the parents. But that question I would recommend to our listeners to check with the DSSV, for example.
Kids at that age, they want to earn some money. Kids, like Jens says, kids in university, they really want to earn some money.
So that's always good. All right, I want to talk about one major trend. That is Hyrox. And I remember I told you earlier, when it was 2016, Christian Tölzke and Moritz Fürste, the hockey champion, they came up to the German Association, to DSSV, to meet us. And introduced the idea that they want to have a fitness competition and they're going to roll it out in all over Germany, all over the world. And we said, yeah, it's an interesting idea because we don't have that. But it's like a really tough one to do. And actually, to be honest, at that point in time, I said, okay, we can support you, introduce you to some people. But actually, we hear a lot of that kind of idea, so I didn't believe it. In it that back in the days I would love to have it happen, but also I learned better because it happened and they did an excellent job, and also you did an excellent job because you just announced towards FIBO that you're partners now. Could you explain us a little bit about it? Is it Jens, is that in your area of
it's a global partnership, and I think well, side fact, HYROX is from Hamburg and our office is also in Hamburg. So
And the German association is in Hamburg.
Yeah, DSSV, justifies the fitness capital of good, being the fitness capital of Germany.
Good stuff comes from Hamburg.
So I would say HYROX is a massive community and Group Training Les Mills is a massive community. And this partnership bridges both communities. So we have joined forces and now it's a network of more than 35,000 clubs around the world with that programming. And I think HYROX has skyrocketed, especially in the last 24 months. We are true believers this will become an Olympic sport and it's so huge and they're doing such an amazing job. And it's underlined also by research. We found out that, yeah, roughly 40% of Gen Zers, they really want to push their workout to their, they want a workout which pushes them to their limit. And HYROX is definitely something that can truly help them pushing themselves to their limit. Yeah. But I know the conversations were very long. They visited you in New Zealand. There were many conversations and yeah, that's.
We've been talking with them for a long time. Yes. Like I said, our organization has, my clubs in New Zealand and Australia had always done sports. You know, the sports, building those sports communities is just a great way to build long-term members. And like I said before, we'd run the national championships in triathlon and in CrossFit and things like that. And when I saw the sport, I just thought it was wonderful. And Christian and Mo Moritz, you know, they're both former athletes. Like our organization comes we're a sports organization in the beginning. Christian was a very good decathlete, and Moritz is maybe the greatest Olympic field hockey player of all time. So they're sports guys, you know, we get on great with them. But Christian he's had the background. He was the CEO of the Ironman organization, the biggest triathlon organization in the world. So he has a lot of experience in running mass participation events like this. And that has really been a big key to their success because they are growing so fast. You know, they're having most weeks around the world now, they're having three events in different countries around the world. They've had, the biggest event was 75,000 competitors. And that's as big as the very biggest marathons that you're going to see. So I'm sure it's going to be an Olympic sport like triathlon became, and it's just going to be fantastic for gyms, because it's for clubs, because with a marathon runner, you know, I think it's really important to run running groups in your club, running communities, but very often they're going to leave the club to be part of a running club, but they're never going to leave for HYROX, because that's where you train, you know. Yeah. It's fitness racing. It's using the gym equipment. And so our clubs will build communities that I think will be there forever. I think that it's going to be the biggest mass sport in the world. And it's always going to happen in gyms. One of the things that happens with it is people will just come and train for, like 6 weeks or 3 months for the event, and then they'll leave. What we're doing is we're, so our ceremony classes, our ceremony High Rocks classes are, they're a way of making High Rocks training fun. So we have two classes. One is Ceremony High Rocks, which is the base class, and one which is Ceremony High Rocks Max. The Max class is very similar to a High Rocks event. Mm. It's like, you know, little versions where you're doing something very similar,
like,
and building up
a tiny High Rocks.
But the regular ceremony, it's like if you're a marathon runner and in the off season you run slowly, you know, yeah, you run 100 kilometers a week and you do it slowly and you make it enjoyable. So the base ceremony class, it's a class with music and with exercise and community and great teachers, and it's a way of making it fun for people to train all year round for High Rocks and to keep them at the clubs.
Yeah.
To build those communities, which, and I think it's going to bring millions and millions of members to the club industry around the world. And I think it's really important that clubs get set up to build those communities, those High Rocks communities, and support it, have groups where people from the club are going to the competitions together and maybe wearing the club uniform. I mean, I want to have, with my clubs, I want to have some Olympic medalists, you know. I wonder. We had Olympic medalists in triathlon, and it's exciting for me. It's exciting for all the members, I think, to get behind that and do it. So I really think it's going to be great for our industry.
Yeah, I like the impression slow High Rocks, because I did a High Rocks once and that was actually really slow because I totally underestimated the running, the 8 kilometers, because I'm not a runner's guy. But
the yeah, nice thing is you can do it as part of a pair or as part of a group or something. Yeah. You don't have to do the whole thing, but it's
also now you have like the
young millennials love it. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, like, you have like the double option that you do it with a partner, so you don't have to do anything by your own. So it's actually the fitness competition for everyone.
It's accessible for everyone.
Yeah.
So one of the keys.
Absolutely. And if somebody out there, if you didn't do a High Rocks, please do one. For the end, I would like you, if you have some advice for the gym operators in Germany, Austria, or Switzerland that you would like to give them from your perspective. Maybe, Jens, we start with you from German point of view.
Thank you. I think we invest in people. Investing in people, investing in instructors is, from my perspective, the single biggest thing you can do. Give them your attention. And we found out that the most successful gyms, not only in the German-speaking part of the world, everywhere, are the ones who invest in their people, because they are the heartbeat of your club. If you visit our booth downstairs, it says the best strength machine has a heartbeat. And that's what we truly stand for.
Thanks, Jens. Philip.
I agree. I think that Jens nailed it. It's take the time to get out there and find those great rock star teachers, because they are going to transform your club. You know, it should be the most important thing that you do, I think, is to get out there and find those people. And just remember, we're in the motivation business. We're half in the exercise business, and we're half in the business of making people fall in love with fitness.
I love that, to fall in love with fitness. I thank you for listening to the end of the episode. I hope you like it. If yes, please give us a 5-star recommendation. Also, let me please know how you like the English version of the episode. And if you have any comments or thoughts, please add it to the show notes, to the comments down below. And thank you to you, gentlemen, that you joined me for my podcast today.